The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Vegas. On the show today, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the Crackman, the remote from an undisclosed location somewhere in this great nation of ours. Mm. We don't know where.
I was going to say, I have no idea where. Clearly, you don't either. Okay.
He probably told me. Somewhere, I think, on the East Coast. We'll talk to JVT about college football, about the Damian Lillard trade, which we got to talk about here. In fact, this is one of those mornings where I was like, I'm going to race through baseball and race through the NFL Thursday night because that's all we want to talk about. Kelly loves a good NBA soap opera. He's two things. He loves a good NBA soap opera, and he's a full-fledged Swiftie, just not the Swift you're talking about. He's talking about Flex Seals, Phil Swift. That's what you're truly a Swiftie about.
That's maybe maybe my favorite line ever that you just dropped.
If I came to you with a boat frame and I said, Kelly, I have personally Flex Sealed this entire boat. Let us just speedboat out in the ocean. Would you come with me?
No, not you at all.
But Phil Swift says that to you.
But if Phil Swift did, I'd be on that boat in a second. Are you kidding me?
Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
The only job. Only job I would give this up for, Gil.
Paul Carr on the Premier League. We'll do teaser time, of course, in the National Football League as well. And a little later on in the show, you'll talk some Ryder Cup with us, and we will be joined by Drew, the Armenian bettor, who has been on Spanky's podcast. He's been on Rob Pozzola's podcast. I met him getting my hair cut.
You were telling me the story yesterday.
Getting my hair cut. So I want to have him in. He's a super interesting guy, and he could serve as an inspiration to young gamblers out there who want to do this very seriously, because he started from absolutely nothing and made himself into a big time success. We'll get into all that real quick before we get to the Damian Lillard trade, which obviously dominated all sports news and by sort of as its cousin, all sports betting news yesterday. Baseball, it's, you know, if I talk about how NFL ATS preflop betting is Plinko. Baseball, in terms of who's going to make the playoffs here at the end, in terms of the wild card, it's musical chairs. It's where the music stops on Sunday and just who happens to be in right now in the American League. First of all, in terms of the brink of clinching divisions, Baltimore on the brink of clinching the AL East. The Rangers in a schizophrenic second half of the season on the brink of clinching the American League West, though still not decided in either case. The real drama is in the wild card, obviously, in the American League now. While Tampa inhabits the number one wild card, that's already been determined. Toronto with 71 losses, Houston with 72, Seattle with 73. Two spots up for grabs. Seattle on the outside looking in. And right now, they've got work to do. And it's a tough schedule. The Astros have it on their racket. Don't mess this up, Astros, as they try to get into the postseason. And then in the National League, a changing of the guard in terms of the number two and number three position. Well, not the number two. The Arizona Diamondbacks now have a two loss lead, if you will, in the loss column for the number two position. But for number three, the Miami Marlins now with the tiebreaker over the Cubs. The Marlins, who split a doubleheader yesterday with the Mets. The Cubs, who lost again. Again, a comeback from the Braves. Not as dramatic as the 6-0 comeback two nights ago. But yesterday, the Cubs had two leads on the Braves, and they lose it in extras. And so right now, both teams, the Marlins and the Cubs, 82-76. But the Marlins have the tiebreaker by virtue of a 4-2 series win over the Cubs. The Reds, two games behind them in the loss column. The Padres, Kelly, four games behind them in
the
loss
column.
Watch out! And still have the stars aligned scenario where they could possibly make it, but they got to hit some ridiculous parlay. They could be out at any moment.
I hope they make it so bad, so bad.
And the only thing I would say about baseball is just be very careful. If your inclination is, it's the only thing on sports that's on now, I want to bet it. Just know that some of these teams that are already clinched, they're going to do some funky things. So, like, don't go. I almost recommend staying away from any games that involve teams that have clinched. And by the way, those celebration angle games yesterday, both lost. Fading the Brewers, fading the Phillies. That's why I never play those, because they never work out.
It's like the first baseball game bet I've made in like 2 months. Yeah. I actually play them all the time. I'm such a believer in that. But I think the problem is I put my own mindset into the players, and I'm like, I think baseball gets ridiculous how they celebrate like every little moment of
every
advancement. You know what I mean?
But
if there's a party going on around me, Gil, I'm going to party hard. And playing baseball, you know, 16 hours later, whatever it might be, does not sound ideal.
I have said that before about the ridiculous every round celebrations in baseball. Hey, we won the division round. Let's go crazy. Football tonight, Thursday night football, Detroit at Green Bay. Detroit, a 1.5-point road favorite. And it looks like Aaron Jones and Christian Watson will play for the Green Bay Packers. Christian Watson, who has not suited up yet this year for the Pack, and Aaron Jones, who hasn't suited up since game one when he was holding on to his hammy on the way into the end zone against the Chicago Bears in week one. He hasn't played since then. But both teams have trouble on the offensive line. David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, both out. The left side of the line for the Green Bay Packers, Zach Tom, one of their replacements, is questionable as well. That would be big because Aiden Hutchinson is just killing it this year. Detroit ranks 10th in pressure rate. On the other side, you have the Lions without Hala Pulivati Vaitai and Matt Nelson. They're already out. Taylor Decker, though, is questionable, as well as Jonah Jackson on that line as replacements. So both teams having trouble on the offensive line. Biggest stat I would say for the Packers this year, both teams, by the way, 2-1. Jordan Love, 28th out of 34 qualified quarterbacks when facing pressure. Jared Goff, also when he's facing pressure, outside of the top 33. So these are, like, again, all quarterbacks are worse under pressure. But these two guys really fall off a cliff under pressure. And also with the Packers inside the red zone have really converted at a high rate thus far. So if that regresses as well, as you would expect, it might not happen tonight, but will happen over time. So there are some definite red flags with both of these teams, especially headed into tonight's game with both of those injuries. The total is 45.5. Maybe that's too high,
yeah,
based on everything we just talked about.
It'd be a lean to the under for me for sure. That way, I don't even think this would be, you know, we talked about him a lot on primetime action, Gil, but I don't even think this would be a bad spot for a same game teaser if you wanted to play it that way. Tease up the Packers side, you know, and then tease up the total and bet it under. I'll be looking to tease up the Packers, I think, tonight. I haven't played it yet, but looking forward to talking more about the, you know, the possibilities of what to pair it with in teaser time here coming up.
Looking for a dance partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now what we came for, Kelly. And we'll have JVT talk about this on the other side, too. The blockbuster trade, which happened, I guess, about an hour and a half after our show yesterday.
It was a couple hours. Yeah.
Damian Lillard, the trade that has been anticipated of Damian Lillard forever, but just not to the team that most thought. 30-1 at DraftKings for Damian Lillard to play his first seconds with this upcoming season with the Milwaukee Bucks. It was 30-1. He ends up with the Bucks. The Blazers trade him. He gets to play alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo now. Portland receives Drew Holiday, who they are expected to move in all of this. They also get DeAndre Ayton in this three-way deal with the Phoenix Suns. So the Suns unload DeAndre Ayton's contract. Portland also ends up with Tumani Kamara, 2029, Bucks first rounder, 2028 and 29 unprotected swaps. Phoenix, while unloading DeAndre Ayton, gets Yusuf Nurkic. They get Grayson Allen. They get Nasir Little and Keon Johnson. So congratulations to anyone who had Damian going to the Bucks at 30-1. Let me just go to, these are your two, Giannis and Damian Lillard, Dame Time, are your two favorite players.
I had to go through the list yesterday, Gil, just to confirm that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think these are my two favorite players in the NBA, now on the same team.
You're going to be insufferable.
Just as an NBA fan,
yeah,
I'm geeking out over this. Like, this is incredible.
Okay, so the Bucks odds, everything that happened, the Bucks odds to win the NBA Finals went from plus 850 to plus 390 at DraftKings. Essentially, they had been behind in the odds, behind the Nuggets, the Celtics, and the Suns.
Yep.
Now they're kind of consensus short shot, maybe co-short shots with the defending champion Denver Nuggets. You see the Eastern Conference odds cut in half as well. Number one seed goes down to a plus 125. So let me play the wet blanket here, because I know you're out of control happy. Everybody's like, oh my God, the Bucks, they have Giannis and Dame. Oh my God, they're going to win the title. We've seen this so many times before, right? Obviously, Kyrie and KD with the Nets, along with James Harden. Like, that was the biggest example of this. The NBA is a funny thing. There's an alchemy to it. Just because you have the stars doesn't mean you're going to win the title.
Sure. Yep.
I say that as a cautionary thing, and you're like, I don't care. You're all in. You think the Bucks are winning the title?
I mean, look, it's a long season. There's injuries that happen. These teams change. almost everybody that's on the short shot list of who could win the NBA Finals this year. I think there are questions about all of them. Bucks, there is some depth issues now. There is perimeter defensive questions now that you replace Drew Holiday with Damian Lillard. But for every like NBA hardo out there that I saw on Twitter yesterday being like, well, you're losing Drew Holiday, and he's extremely underrated in the perimeter defense. That's all true. Damian Lillard is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of player that you are adding right next to another once-in-a-lifetime sort of player in Giannis Antetokounmpo. The offense that these two are going to generate is going to be insane. If they can stay healthy, Gil, nobody is stopping them. I will say it now. Nobody is stopping this team.
Okay, yeah, but isn't it also true, though, getting back to your Drew point, which you waved away, which I understand why you're waving away, because it is Dame time. But if you can anticipate where he's headed, and by the way, Sixers are interested.
Massive.
Celtics are interested.
Yes. Miami
should be interested. Warriors are rumored to be interested.
Couple that with Buddy Hield still being available, too.
Let me just say this. If he ends up in Miami, because we were throwing this around yesterday via text, immediately the thought is Miami to the under. Miami's season win total dropped a couple games. Mm-hmm. I think to like 46.5 or something like that.
They went from like 9-1 to 28-1.
But isn't Miami the quintessential team of, yes, that's true, because Jimmy Butler never plays 60 games. Anyway, he's played 60 games twice in the last 6 years. Yes, while the regular season under seems the right play, if they had Drew, you're going to bet against them in the playoffs?
No, not in the playoffs.
No way.
But specifically not in the playoffs.
But that's the point. That's the thing you have to think about betting-wise with the NBA. The regular season is one thing, and the playoffs,
yep.
I'm not going up against that Heat team if they got that guy. If they get Drew, big if, but we'll see. JVT's got thoughts on this. Kelly has more. Rookie of the Year implications next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG.
ANG. It's an A numbers game.
Get access to everything we do this football season, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use promo code ANG to save 40% when you sign up on a football season special today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Damian Lillard. Dame time. Traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I will say it again, if the Heat end up with Drew, I will make an Eastern Conference Miami Heat bet in a heartbeat. Your Dame and Giannis combo be damned. The biggest sort of direct line, though, by that trade from a betting perspective, and I think you nailed this yesterday, is Rookie of the Year. Because if the Blazers...
Oh, there's so many.
If the Blazers are truly going to get rid of Drew, which they will...
Yeah.
This was always the thing about trading Dame to begin with. This opens the door for this to be Scoot Henderson's team. Mm-hmm. What is his number now? Plus 460?
Here at Circa.
That
is by far the best number you're going to find around. He's plus 225 at DraftKings right now. This did move off of the news yesterday.
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama, obviously the short shot here to win Rookie of the Year, but not by much, by the way. Not by much at all.
Well, he was odds on pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of came back to even money you're seeing right now. Scoot in that plus 250 range. Chet behind him a little bit. Circa's got Holmgren shorter than Scoot.
Yeah, Chet Holmgren, who will qualify for Rookie of the Year this year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why wouldn't we make a Scoot bet right here after the show?
I did. Yeah. I already did.
I
already did. Look, I think if we're talking about that, though, the Bucks or even the Heat, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind when it comes to NBA futures betting of any kind is what are the chances you're going to get a better price in season,
yes.
Right? So I think it's
100%.
Did I bet Scoot at plus 460? Yes, I did. But it's take a piece now and look to add later, right? Same thing is if you were rushing to bet the Bucks today or even the Heat, I'd say take a piece now and then look to add later, because there's probably a point during the season you're going to get a better number.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I bet Scoot win Rookie of the Year. Scoot over 15.5 points per game. And then Suns to be the number one seed in the Western Conference at over 3-1.
the three-headed monster that is the Phoenix Suns, number one seed in the West at plus 325. No, it's a great point about betting pre-flop versus betting in season, because with the Heat, as I just said, not really caring how many regular season games they win. They just want to get in the playoffs and then do their stuff. JVT, Jonathan Montobo, is our senior NBA analyst. He's got thoughts on this. He joins us now. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm good. An adventurous couple of days, but I'm good.
What is your biggest takeaway from this? Does it the Dame trade, does it trigger a bet instantly for you?
Yeah, it's one that Kelly brought up that we talked about on the emergency pod yesterday, and then we also talked about as part of the Western Conference preview, or sorry, the Pacific Division preview, which is the Phoenix Suns to win the one seed in the Western Conference. I love what they've done, man. Like, when you look at this overall depth, when you look at what they're able to do, when you look at the, like, adding guys like Keon Johnson and Nasir Little to that overall team that I think is actually going to be very good, I think that they came away like bandits in this trade. And then adding Yusuf Nurkic in place of DeAndre Ayton, I think it's a really, really big move for them.
Do you buy into people? Because I know a lot of NBA, Kelly stole our tennis word and said hardos. A lot of NBA experts yesterday were like, this is big for Portland. Do you buy into that?
I mean, I guess it's big for Portland and that they get rid of Damian Lillard, but we kind of saw this coming, right? So I don't know why it would be big for Portland in that way. Just they finally moved off Damian Lillard, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like DeAndre Ayton, and I like the fact that you're able to get Drew Holiday to flip him. And I do think, like, by the time it gets to 2030, that pick swap and those first-round picks might have a little bit more value than people are surmising. But I don't really understand why it would be a massive deal for Portland, you know?
Which team makes the biggest move to grab Drew, and where would he have the biggest effect, in your opinion?
I mean, so you kind of hit it on the head. I think you've got to look at Miami, right? Because it's just, your team has been turned over from the NBA Finals run. You know, Gabe Vincent's gone, and Max Strus is gone, and you have a real question at point guard, and who's going to take on the best defensive guards, or the offensive guards in your regard. So, like, I think that that's going to be interesting. I would also say, look out for the Philadelphia 76ers, right? That do you try to then incorporate your own three-team deal that involves Portland and, you know, shipping off James Harden somewhere else? But I would put those two at the top of the list. And I wouldn't throw out Boston either, because I think overall, Gil, when you look at the Eastern Conference, and it's why, you know, Kelly had brought this up on the podcast yesterday, everybody's kind of taken a small step back outside of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think now there's going to be a little bit of pep in the step with some of these contenders to go and get a guy like Drew Holiday to at least get right back in there with Milwaukee.
All right, let's go to football. Let's squeeze both NFL and college football in. NFL model, the Jonathan Vaughn model. How did we do this past week?
Good. So last week, you know, you just want to, I think, what did Mitch say? You just want to keep matriculate the ball down the field. 3-2 in terms of best bets. If you took every edge, 11-5. So for the season best bets now, we're at 11-5, I should say. And then the best bets, if you took every edge, sorry, I'm kind of out of it. I've been up all night. 31-16-1 if you took every edge so far in every single game. So it's been so solid so far.
Beautiful. What is it like this week?
So the five biggest edges this week, and I accidentally tweeted out the wrong projections. I accidentally put out a projection that had the Carolina Panthers favored by nearly three. That was the wrong screenshot. So the best bets are going to be this week: the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Bengals, the Rams, and the Raiders. So those Ooh. Are the five biggest edges. Yes, the Raiders. I don't know if I really love that. But I will say this, which I find pretty fascinating, Gil. By my count, I think I've got like seven games this week that are within at least a point of the point spread. So, like, the numbers are getting super tight, and we're only like 4 weeks in. It's been really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I only make that noise because I'm considering playing the Chargers in Survivor. Yeah. So anything that favors the Raiders, even if it's against the spread, I immediately have a reaction to. All right, college football, where you do two shows here on the network, both on Saturday and Sunday. A live show on Saturday, a lines show, if you will, on Sunday, looking ahead. Where do you go on the board in a pretty interesting college football Saturday?
It's hard not to go immediately to Notre Dame Duke, only because, like, that's a brutal situation for Notre Dame, right? You lose that game the way that you do, then you have to go on the road as a road favorite to take on Duke, who has played extremely well. And one of the intricate things that Duke can do that I think Ohio State did, and they did to Clemson, Duke did, they're really capable of playing really strong man defense and putting a bunch of guys in the box and saying, no, Hartman, you beat us. And Sam Hartman's passing attack wasn't super dynamic. So if you take 5.5 with Duke at home, I think that's very playable.
That seems like a very consensus opinion here this week, grabbing Duke and the points. Anything on USC Colorado? You laying the wood with USC?
I am. I mean, I find this pretty interesting, right? Look, Colorado is, you know, a very good and dynamic offensive team. But I think the market's kind of over-factoring that in here. Their offensive line is very bad. And I still very think that bad. USC is going to be able to take advantage of that. So I was kind of surprised. 21.5 here. I'll take 21.5 with USC.
Yeah, it cannot be overstated how bad Colorado's offensive line is in trying to protect Shedeur Sanders. Yep. Anything else in college football? Where else did you land?
So there's also one more I'd throw out there. One team that I've been tracking here a bit, it has been in our own backyard, UNLV. For those who don't know, the Rebels are actually 4-0 against the spread this year. They've done a brilliant job. However, the market's really swung a little too far now. They're laying 11 against Hawaii. Hawaii is a really opportunistic offense, and they're going to be able to take advantage of one of the biggest weaknesses the Rebels have had so far, which has been deep shots downfield. I think Hawaii is going to be able to stick with inside that number. I think you're buying at the top of the market with UNLV, so we're going to sell high, and we're going to go with the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Okay, Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Okay, so just to give folks an idea, so your NFL model now, what's the record through 3 weeks?
11 on best bets, it's 11-5. And overall, if you took every little edge it gave you, you're 31-16-1.
Good God. That's I don't know if you know this. That's pretty good.
I totally misheard the overall record the first time around.
If you played all the edges, 31-16-1.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's like the Dr. Bob thing when he goes off. If you had played all my opinions and all my leans, you'd be this. Well, why don't you play them? Okay, so that's very good. And like, are you getting to the point now mentally in a contest where you're like this could actually happen? This could actually be something. Have you allowed yourself to get to that, John?
No, not at all. I'm a very pessimistic person, so I refuse to see the light. By the time I'm walking away with $1 million and I stab Mitch in the back and take it all with me, then maybe.
Does he know that that's coming down the pipe? Does he know that's happening?
Oh, I've announced it multiple times on multiple shows, so right. I think so, yeah.
Well, at least you're honest about it. That's very nice. Okay, and then the pop-up podcast, as Flatter used to call it, you're calling it an emergency podcast for hardwood handicappers, available now for everyone. You guys did this on the cuff yesterday.
Yes, we did. The second I got off the plane, Gil, I ran home and I got into my studio and I called up Kelly and we did it. So
you're
phenomenal. That's called dedication.
That's right. Jonathan, shoved his kids out of the way. I need to talk to Kelly. Come on.
Get out of the way, kids.
I did one even better. I left them in California for you. That's
right. Man's dedicated. John, thank you as always. Appreciate it, man.
No problems. Good to talk to you guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, our senior NBA analyst, also the co-host with Kelly on Hardwood Handicappers, our basketball podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT, but also got his pro football model because he wanted to learn about models and it's going swimmingly well. And he does the two college football shows on the weekend. Look at that. We'll come back. Teaser time in the NFL. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, no question about that. So download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Midland. By the way, ESPN, when on a day like this, when there's a NBA trade like that, it's like, 96 straight hours of content on this one thing.
It luckily happened right before NBA, already scheduled NBA Today yesterday.
Oh, so it worked out perfectly. That. Yeah. Hosted by the great Malika Andrews, of course. Should point that out. Okay, let us talk some Premier League. But before we do that, some sadness from Paul Carr, our Premier League guy, because he had two Survivor entries going and they are both out. He joins us from Topeka, Kansas. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. He, of course, has the Expected Value podcast and is at True Media Networks. Paulie, who did you have in Survivor?
I had the Jaguars and the Ravens in a couple different pools. One, a small home pool of 20-ish people. Another, one of those giant DraftKings pools with thousands and thousands of people, and they both ended very sadly in very different ways.
I don't mean to laugh because I feel the pain. There's nothing quite, I've said this for years now when we do Survivor. We have all these bets going. we're in contests, but there's nothing that hits harder when you're done than when you're done with Survivor. It's the strangest thing, because I don't know what is at play there, because you actually think that's the one you have a shot at winning. Is that it?
Right. I guess. And I mean, for me, and I think for you, you know, you kind of stare at these first week, the first 2-3 weeks of the schedule for so long in the off season.
Yes.
And you're kind of, you know, it just goes with establishing your priors in the sense of, you know, who's good, who's not, who's going to stink. Am I going to bet against Arizona all season, whatever it might be. And then it all just evaporates in the span of, you know, 2-3 hours in the third week of the season.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, I was thinking about, like, what we often acknowledge our wins and losses in betting. What we don't often acknowledge is some of the things that happen that save us. So, you know, like the Circa, I'll give a couple examples. In Circa, we couldn't play Dallas because you have to save Dallas for the Thanksgiving Christmas thing. So because of that, it saved a lot of people from getting eliminated in the Circa pool, because just by virtue of that, you couldn't play Dallas. And it also allowed you a week extra to then shift your thinking on Arizona as not the team to fade all the time. By the way, I feel the same way about Colorado. You would, you know, the Travis Henry injury allowed you to stop in your tracks and say, okay, well, because that happened, I'm no longer going to go crazy on this team. And now you got to see, even with the Travis Henry injury, all of the deep rooted flaws of that football team. Yep. So, you know, there are those things too that happen. That we were saying off air though, and it's so true. The Jags loss was one thing, because that was a, we're losing from the beginning. That Ravens loss, dude.
I mean, yeah, they missed the field goal at the end of regulation, and it was, what, 61 yards?
61.
It's Justin Tucker, so Justin Tucker. Like you've got a legit shot. Their first possession overtime, I think, started in Colts territory.
Their first, they got nothing. Their first two did, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the second one, was they were both right around there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up most of the fourth quarter. You feel like things are coming around. There's just so much hope, up and down of hope. And they kept, like, all right, we got this. Everything's going to be fine. And then not so much.
And then the refs ate a flag, right? On that third down play. Which to me was the ultimate plinko. It's like, what do you mean that's not a flag? At home, no less. Where you're like, how can that not be a flag? That's brutal, man. We're all braced for that day for all of us. Survivor continues. You're also a Dolphins fan. Before we get to your Premier League picks, you're also a Dolphins fan. They put up 70. They're 3-0. They're going to Buffalo. What is your, like, can you even define your excitement level at this point?
No, because, I mean, I'll use my fantasy teams as an example. And I say this not because no one cares about fantasy team, but, like, I passed on Dolphins players and I haven't started Raheem Mostert the last couple weeks because I've got 25 years of post-Marino Dolphins offensive ineptitude ingrained in me.
That's right.
So I don't know what to do with this. It's very confusing.
It really is. I mean, 70.
Yeah.
726 yards.
I didn't get to watch, especially the second half, because I was working a soccer game. But I kept getting the alerts on my phone. Like, there was another touchdown. I genuinely thought, like, you know, they had 56 with 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Like, I thought I was getting bad updates. Like, this can't be right.
56
score again.
With 14:55. Yes.
55,
entire quarter still to play. Well, we'll see. Your thoughts on this Buffalo game then? I'm probably asking the wrong person, but then you have a defeatism attitude about this game against Buffalo?
I mean, I'm a little optimistic only because, you know, they went to Buffalo last year and played them real tough in the regular season and lost when it was cold, and then, you know, came back in the playoffs. I might be getting the games confused, but they played them tough there a couple times. Obviously, weather not going to be a big factor here. Buffalo wasn't clicking those first 2 weeks. They obviously looked good last week against your commodes. But I feel pretty good. I think it could be a fun one. The defense, everything's kind of just clicking for Miami. It's hard to be down right now, even for a fatalist.
Well, thank you for calling Washington by its correct name. I appreciate that. All right.
Happy to help.
Premier League table. Man City through 6 games, 18 points. Liverpool with 16. Brighton with 15. And then Tottenham and Arsenal both with 14. Brighton's sort of the team that doesn't appear.
My guys.
Yeah. They're your guys. That's right. What was your preseason bet on them? Did you have one?
Top four plus 650, 600, something in that range.
Good start.
We'll see.
What did you end up this week?
All right. So we mentioned Man City. They're the Dolphins of the Premier League this season, I guess, or something. They've looked great. You know, they're perfect. They've given up the fewest shots, fewest expected goals. They're scoring lots of goals, obviously. And now they're facing a Wolverhampton team that isn't very good. They're in the bottom half in just about every offensive metric, as simple as goals, expected goal, shot quality, whatever you want. They lost to Ipswich Town, which is a second division team midweek in the League Cup. So that's kind of an indication of how much of a mess Wolves is. They're not going to have much of the ball. City's rolling. Injuries don't matter. Suspension doesn't really matter for Man City. All that to say, I don't think Wolves is going to score in this game. So I'm playing the Wolves under half a goal at plus 115. I think City gets a shutout. You could parlay it if you wanted to with a win to nil type of thing. I'm just going to play under half a goal for Wolves at plus 115.
All right. And then you have a couple teams that are sort of middling at this point in the young season. Brentford taking on Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. And Brentford, I think, is just a much better team. They're a clear-cut top half team, not necessarily going to threaten for a Champions League spot in the top four. But, they should comfortably finish in that 6-10 type of range. And they're at Nottingham Forest, which is one of the favorites to get relegated right now. Brentford is, again, just much better. This is a really good price if you can get it in the plus 160, plus 165 range. Brentford does have some injured attackers, but kind of trust the Brentford way. Again, they're this mid-table team that has used analytics and data and good coaching to be a solid team that was in, the fourth division in England about 15 years ago. So Forest is going to set up defensively. They don't have the ball much all season. Brentford will break them down. Brentford can do that. They have the patience. They take good shots. I think Brentford is a good price for a win. I put out a plus 165 and I'd go a little bit lower.
Yeah, shop around for that. The old Paul Carr, they're just a better team handicap for that one. On set. By the way, the Wolverhampton game against Man City is on Saturday. The Brentford Nottingham Forest game, which Paul just talked about, is on Sunday. And then there is a Monday total you want to play. Wouldn't be a segment without an overplay from you. What do you like?
Right. Yeah, so this is Monday. This is Fulham Chelsea over 2.5 at minus 120. You might look at the goals column and say that, hey, these teams have 10 combined goals in 12 games this season. But we touched on this a little bit last week. Chelsea is one of the biggest underachievers based on the shots that they've taken this season. They only have 5 goals, but they have almost 12 expected goals, meaning you take these shots every game, you should be closer to 12 goals on the whole. So the underlying numbers are there. They're just not making their shots right now. Nothing's going in. Fulham's defense, pretty leaky. They've given up the best shots in the league all season. Feels a lot like a 2-1 kind of game, one way or the other. I just think there's going to be goals in this, so over 2.5 at minus 120.
Yeah, take a snapshot of the table right now. Chelsea with only 5 points in 14th place out of 20 on the young season. Who is the single, we'll let you go this, who's the single worst team, do you believe, in the Premier League right now through 6 games? You're like, they will be dead last when all is said and done.
Luton Town's the favorite. They're a newly promoted team. Just, it's one of those, you're newly promoted and you look a little bit overmatched and you're probably going straight back down.
Okay. Paul Carr, Premier League trio of picks. Wolverhampton under a half goal, plus 115 versus Man City on Saturday. Brentford to beat Nottingham Forest is a nice dog price on Sunday. Just says they're the better team. And then Monday, Fulham and Chelsea over 2.5 goals. Paul, good luck with all those. Good luck with your Miami Dolphins, man.
Thank you. Good luck with Survivor.
Thank you, sir. Oh, I'll need it. We'll all need it to get through week 4 and all the slim pickings of picks in Survivor. If you are on the DK Network, Dan Lebatard is next. If you want to hang out for us in Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger, also Drew the Armenian Better hanging out with us as well. VSiN is the place to be. We're coming right back on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.